I'm Josh Cooperman, and this is Convo by Design, with a conversation that is on the minds of just about every designer this time of year. How can I go to High Point, see everything, do everything in the few days while I'm there, and make sure to catch everything that's going on? Well, the simple answer is you can't. High Point Market is the big game. It's the championship level event for designers in North America. It's big, it's spread out, and it can be sensory overload. So you can't do it all. But if you plan it right, do your homework, and listen to the following conversation with Tammy, you can make it work for you. That's really what it comes down to, right? Learning how to custom tailor the experience for you and your needs, making the few days you have work in terms of seeing what you want to see, meeting with whom you want to meet, and leaving a bit of time for the unexpected, all while wearing very comfortable shoes and hydrating properly, right? And making sure you have snacks and a portable battery for your phone. Yes, there's that. Tips, tricks, hacks to make the High Point Market experience everything you want it to be. That's what we're talking about today with High Point Market Authority CEO Tammy Negum. And we will get to that right after this.
I consider myself so incredibly fortunate to be working with some of the amazing partners and sponsors on Convo by Design. Thermosol, the presenting sponsor of Convo by Design. I've been working with this amazing group of people for over 4 years. And it's really amazing. I was recently out at the Round Rock, Texas facilities for the 65th annual celebration and had a chance to sit down with Mitch Altman, third generation president and CEO of the company. I also had a chance to sit down with Murray Altman, who's the second generation CEO and president of the company. And I am telling you, what makes Thermosol so special is the people and the technology and the manner in which they approach the business. If you're a designer and you aren't adding steam and sauna to a luxury bathroom, can you really call it luxury? They've been the industry leader in steam bath equipment and technology since 1958. They have an in-house engineering team that constantly and consistently works to better the product. They don't, as you will hear, I had a chance to interview Mitch again for the show. The last time he was on was episode 271, so it was definitely time for him and I to catch up again, and he told the story of how the company was founded and started. Every steam generator is hand-inspected before it leaves the factory. I don't know of another company that does that. They put such pride into the product and the workmanship and the craftsmanship of the product that when you go into your steam shower, it is going to deliver precise, reliable results every single time. And that's what you can count on with Thermosol. And there's a lifetime warranty to back it up. So there's no risk, only reward. It's amazing. Their technological marvels like intelligent showering systems and sound therapy, aromatherapy, the technical interfaces, and more, all through Thermosol. So check them out, thermosol.com or at Thermosol on the socials. Check the show notes for links to the website. Or if you have a question about the product, email me and I will tell you what I think. convobydesign@outlook.com. I should tell you a couple of things at the onset.
Okay.
First of all, I have never been to High Point.
Okay. We got to fix that.
That's one. Two, it has been on my list for as long as I've been doing the show. So that would be, by the time this airs, that will be 11 years.
Oh, wow.
It's on my list. And, the third part was, and this is just purely selfish, is we're recording this in December. So the October edition of the show featured in concert Bare Naked Ladies, who I saw for the first time in 1999 in Dallas, Texas. And I was so looking forward to potentially, and I missed it. How were they?
They were amazing.
Aren't they great?
They were absolutely amazing. And I had no idea that the lead singer's wife was a designer.
I didn't know that either.
I know. So evidently he came and spent a few days with her and they shot the show. So by the time he took the stage, he knew all about High Point.
That was fantastic.
I know.
That is amazing.
It's good.
That is so cool. Okay. So before we get into High Point,
yeah,
do me a favor. Give me the elevator pitch. Give me give me the backstory. How'd you wind up where you are today?
Well, first I have to tell you, I've been here 22 years. And so I started when I was 12. So, I mean, it does not feel like it could be 22 years.
Isn't it funny?
It is. So I grew up in a furniture family. My dad worked for Bassett Furniture for 36 years in quality. And so my entire life, I watched my father leave home and come to High Point twice a year. I grew up in Martinsville, Virginia, nice furniture, little furniture city in Virginia. And so I feel like I do have sawdust in my veins, so to speak. But I actually have a master's degree in counseling and worked in a youth serving nonprofits for about 5 or 6 years and, worked here locally, with a woman who was the president of our Chamber of Commerce. And we did a project together in the schools and she was tapped to be the first president of the Market Authority when this organization was formed. This market has been around for over 100 years, but for most of those 100 years, there was no one in charge. There was no official sponsor. And so the show was growing and changing, and there was a need to have someone really in a coordination role. And so they started the Market Authority, and she said, I need somebody who knows how to keep balls in the air and that I think I can work with. And I don't really know what I'm doing. So, the fact that someone has a lot of experience is not as critical for me. So would you like to come work with me? And so I did. And 22 years later, I've been president for a year and came from the operations side of things. So I have to tell you, I don't know as much about trends and color as I do port-a-johns and buses, but it's been an amazing ride.
You know what's funny is my background is in broadcast, and mm-hmm. so when I was the director of motorsports for CBS Radio in Dallas, and I handled NASCAR.
You know where Martinsville is.
I know exactly where Martinsville is. But in my love of NASCAR and my love of design and architecture are both on par with each other, and when I started the show, I realized that NASCAR and design, it's very, very similar. And yeah. what's funny is you're saying, yeah, because you get it because of where you grew up. Most people that I say that to, I get like the, what?
Oh, no. That,
but it makes perfect sense.
Yes.
The drivers are the designers.
Yes.
The names on the car are the brands they specify.
That's
and
right.
The folks in the stands are the fans and clients. It's the same. So when I started this show, I kind of mirrored it the same way that I did the broadcast of NASCAR for the radio stations. And it got me thinking about our conversation. Because one of the things that I think is so interesting, tickets and toilets in NASCAR is basically the same as buses and port-a-johns.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's a really, really important thing is the operational side.
Yes.
And I think that it probably makes sense to kind of avoid the trends and trending ideas. But here's the thing I wanted to ask you about. 2,000 showrooms.
Yes.
Holy mackerel.
Yes.
There's no way to be able to hit them all at a single market. You can't do it. High Point came up. So again, we're recording this in December. In November was the West Edge Design Fair, for which I produce all of the programming and the talks on stage. Okay. And I had so many conversations about High Point. And it was really interesting because I want your take on something.
Okay.
There's two kinds of people. There are my good friend, Jeannie Chung, who is a fixture and a staple. She is not a, she's not someone to trifle with. Like, she knows.
Yes.
She is not, I am predicting the end of the influencer. I really am in okay. favor of the influential. An influencer will be the person who says, here's what I like and here's what's cool in my world. And an influential is a genie chunk. She's the one who says, hey, you want to see it? Let me help you. Let me tell you how to do this. And so I had a great conversation with her, but there's two types of people in the design world. There are those that have been to High Point and understand it and can navigate it. And there are those that are afraid to go because it is just so big. And right. it's a little intimidating. How do you, I wanted to get to that first. How do you address that?
It is our greatest strength and our greatest weakness, Josh. It is, we are a show that, as you said, spans an entire downtown, 13 blocks of home furnishings. It's 201 football fields of home furnishings. So, if it exists, you can find it in High Point, but you have to be intentional coming here and purposeful when you make a plan to be productive and to get something out of this. And that is our job as a market authority, is to give you the tools to make that plan and to execute that plan. We have a team of customer service folks that we call market advisors. Every call into this office is answered by a human being because we feel like that's important. And when you get one of them on the phone, they can literally help you plan your visit. They will give you the tools you need to be able to come to High Point. You can also do the same on our website. We have a great planner that helps you map things out by product category, by style, by price point, whatever is important to you. Once you make your selections, it puts it all together by building and by bus stop. So you literally can move through the city in an organized way. But there is one trick to that, is that you have to leave at least one day for discovery. You can't do it all. You can do it from your desktop, but you will miss the best parts of High Point. The folks who show here put so much effort into the merchandising, into the trending, into the product, that unless you experience it, you're gonna miss a big piece of that. So while we encourage you to plan, and we hope we give you the tools to do that, we also hope people come here, get on the red line and just ride around, see what you see, walk the streets of Hamilton Wren, walk up and down Main and see what's there and maybe find a new product that you didn't know was there, or a new supplier, or a new education session, or you sit on the bus beside someone who does what you do in a non-competitive area. And those are the things that High Point can deliver like no other.
It's so funny you mention that, because I am an eavesdropper.
Yes.
At shows. I am an eavesdropper. Yeah. And maybe it's because I'm a journalist, and maybe it's because I'm always looking for something that I don't know. But that's one of the things that's really great, is to hear people on a red line, you know, or in a meeting, to say, have you been to this showroom? Have you seen this? It is amazing. Yes. Oh, when there's a buzz about something, but unfortunately you don't get to find that out until you're actually on campus. Right.
Yeah. Right.
So it's one of those interesting things. But, you know, there's also, it seems to me there are different types of designers who go to shows. You have the perimeter people. So you have the ones that will start at the outside and work their way in.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You have the ones that are methodical. Mm-hmm. Here's the 10 places I'm going today, tomorrow, the next day, the day after that. And here's my lunch and dinner, and then I'm just going to snack in the showrooms. That's a big plan to make in advance.
Yeah, and I think we see just that. Here it looks maybe a little different. You know, a lot of these showrooms have their signature lunches, like, you know, they're known for, you know, Palliser's hot dogs or, you know, those kinds of. And so there are many buyers who, to your point, will plan their trip around where they're going to have breakfast, lunch, drinks, and dinner throughout market. And that's how they navigate. There are others who plan based on the weather because High Point is, it's a lot of, you know, you're on the street, you're on and off buses, you're those kinds of things. So if you see a day of inclement weather, you keep the big buildings for days where there is rain and you do more, yes, you do more street level kinds of things when it's beautiful in April and October in North Carolina. So yes, there you're right. Here it might look a little different than the perimeter versus the inside. Maybe it's based on kind of some different things, but those who are well-versed are happy to give you sort of their tricks of the trade of how they move around this, you know, 11 and a half million square feet of show space.
Yeah, it's crazy. Here's the other thing. How do you, and we kind of touched on trend at the beginning of this. It's funny because my philosophy for quite some time, and I think this is proven out to be true, is, you know, trends are remarkable because they are forward leaning indicators. Right. It's when something, when you add the why to it, that it gets ugly, because as soon as something becomes trendy, then everyone's jumping on it. Then you see it everywhere. And it's usually as gone as quickly as it came in many cases. How do you stay on top? How do you, you know, the blocking and tackling of the show and porta potties and tickets and the red line and the showrooms and them doing their thing, those things kind of come together because they do, because they have to, because they always do. But staying on top of things, predicting speakers, predicting, you know, what are we going to focus on? Do we have what themes are we going to lean into? What tentpoles are we going to lean into? How are we, you know, what are we going to do different this year? How are we going to stay on top of it? Because there's always competition to do things differently. Everyone's fighting for the same people. How do you stay on top?
I think it is staying in touch with your customer. I mean, for us, it is having the conversation with the manufacturers who are exhibiting, having conversations with the designers, the retail stores, and understanding where they are and what's important to them, and then trying to match the resources to what they need from a show. There are, as you said before, a lot of reasons people come to a show. And some of them, it's more and more I do hear that, you know, this is somewhere that I can make sure that I'm moving in a relevant path. This is that I'm on top of things, that my competitors are not getting an edge. And so it is important for us. But luckily, you know, home furnishings is, you know, the folks who show here are the geniuses as it relates to that. And we try hard to provide things like education and networking that is complementary to what is in the showroom. I always want a buyer to choose being amongst the product versus, you know, sitting somewhere in a sterile seminar room. We try to give those exhibitors what they need to bring people into their spaces and to give them a look into how they're setting trends and what's important there. I heard a story from the October market of an exhibitor actually bringing in a piece of upholstery and having designers eight-way hand tie themselves. One of them caught a designer on camera who looked up and said, "This is hard." And he said, "Yeah, this is." And so when you're talking to your consumer about the price point of that sofa, you can say, "I did it. It's hard." So it's, yes, it's staying on top of the trends, but it's also being in those conversations or having those experiences where you get the story and you find out what what motivates what's behind this home furnishings product, and you're able to then sell that to the end consumer in a better way. And our exhibitors are great at that. And we don't try to replace that. We try to enhance that and again, make it easy for them to do their job.
You are listening to my conversation with Tammy Nagum, CEO of High Point Market Authority. We will be right back. We talk about this all the time on the show, how design professionals like you just don't have the time to find your favorite brands in one place with expert, knowledgeable, and non-commissioned professionals to help you specify the right product for each of your projects. They're all different, right? Non-commissioned, though, that means their only incentive is your satisfaction, your happiness. And Pacific Sales Kitchen and Home, a Best Buy company, has just that. With over 60 years of service in Southern California, Pacific Sales is your destination for exploration, advice, and inspiration. It's really as good as it gets. Here's the cherry on top. There's even more access to exclusive builder trade incentives from top brands like Viking, Thermador, Sub-Zero, Wolf, and Decor. Visit a Pacific Sales showroom today to learn how you can unlock additional savings and benefits. They're going to help you manifest your projects and make it a reality. Check them out. Pacific Sales Kitchen and Home, where excellence meets expertise. Man, I love this. I have a new sponsor partner on the show that I want to introduce you to if you're not already familiar with them. If you are a specifying designer, architect, landscape architect, or savvy design enthusiast, if you have heard about the quiet luxury movement, this idea of crafting a lifestyle around understated elegance, simplicity, and sophistication, there's more to it than that. And I will add uncomplicated living. Isn't that what we all strive for? I am extremely happy. I'm really thrilled to share a company that embodies all of this, utilizing proprietary technology and a focus on sustainability in their stunningly beautiful products. It's TimberTech. TimberTech is the premium decking company delivering multi-tonal color blending and natural wood textures in a product that is virtually indistinguishable from a natural wood product. What does this mean? It means it's everything wood should be, a beautiful look that blends seamlessly with a well-designed space, providing years of enjoyment and performs the way you want it to. No splintering, fading, peeling, cracking, or rotting. I had a wood deck at our Manhattan Beach home, and I gotta tell you, it was exasperating every year doing the random board flip, taking out nails, resetting them, restaining them. It was a complete pain. It was complicated, and I didn't look forward to it. I wish I had TimberTech, because TimberTech is not only uncomplicated, it's beautiful. It comes in over 20 finish options and 9 collections, and 85% of the material is recycled. This is premium decking for your next project. Learn more and specify it for your next design project, TimberTech, on the socials, or timbertech.com, where you can find a retailer near you, as well as a number of tools to create, design, order samples, and get the expert help you may need. TimberTech is uncomplicated luxury and performs. It's your choice for your next deck project. It's really interesting, too, because you know, I have said before, I can't get away from it. I have said, I'm not talking about the pandemic anymore, but,
right.
But it's interesting because a long lasting effect of the pandemic is going to be a couple of things: the desire and need for a more meaningful experience, experiential yes. nature of things has grown exponentially.
Yes.
The story behind the design. Mm-hmm. And you know what's interesting? The story you just gave, I think, is absolutely genius. And the reason why is because, I mean, look, for any designer who's listening to this, at the end of the day, these shows are showrooms and manufacturers who want you to specify their product. They want you to buy their product on the projects that you have, both, you know, now and in the future. And to sit a designer down and say, okay, do this. It's like, this is hard. It's like, yes, it is. And that's what goes into the nature of the product. That's one of the reasons, because it's hard. That's why we do it, not because it's easy. One of the things that, you know, to sort of turn that around back on the show, one of the things that you do, which is amazing, the website. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been on a lot of websites, I think we all have, that are just like, this doesn't do anything for me. It's like, I can go look at stuff, but I can't really do anything. Your website is form and function perfectly tied into one. And I say that it's not a throwaway line. Like, you have experiences that you can see virtually. You have information on how to manage this show. You have how others do it. There is you have all of your showrooms. There's just so much to it. There's a trip planner. That seems like a job unto itself.
It is. And we spend a lot of time working in that journey mapping, for example, staying close to that customer and pulling apart exactly how a designer or retailer gathers that information, at what point they want it or need it, and how we deliver it to them. That is all very intentional. And I'm glad to hear you say that about the website, because it is a conversation that comes up here daily, is how do we do that better?
What would you say are the top things that first-time attendees or those who aspire to attend don't know?
They don't know.
Or a misconception.
First misconception I would say is that it's impossible to get a hotel room in High Point. You hear that, you know?
I've heard that.
It's hard. I went online and there's nothing there. We have a concierge service that I would encourage everyone to use, because it's a company called TravelQuest. They are local. I have done hotels a lot of different ways over my 22 years. This is by far the best solution to finding what works for you. We work with 90 hotels in the Triad area, and we provide shuttles to all of them. So what he is able to do is have a conversation with you about what's important. Is it a free breakfast? Is it close by? Is it somewhere that has a good restaurant in the property? Is it, what is important? You want room to meet with your team in the evening, all those things, that we're able to find the best fit for you. And he's able to then make that connection with the hotel and book your room. He does one-stop shop. So don't go to the aggregators online, the Expedias and the Travelocities, because you're going to hit blackouts. They pull all of their rooms off of those properties. So that's why people say there are no rooms, because they do a simple search and they find nothing. There are rooms, and they're good rooms, and we can get you in them for a reasonable price. Just use what is there. If a hotel doesn't suit your needs, we also have two fantastic private home housing companies who handle home rentals in High Point. High Point was doing Airbnb before Airbnb knew what it was. And so we actually have companies who inspect the homes, who have photos on their website. And so we do it a little different. You can still use Airbnb, but there's some other great options for accommodations here. So that website gives you all of those options. But number one, if you're planning, first thing to do is make that hotel reservation, because the earlier you get that, the more reasonable the price. I would say the second misconception is that it's just, you know, it's so overwhelming that there's not a way to do this, that your first time is valuable. And I would say using that trip planner, participating in tours. We have lots of designers who we work with who have product specific tours or first timer tours, or, you know, it may not be your first time to High Point, but you may be in a different role or shopping for something you've never, let's say you're now doing a hotel, a boutique hotel, and you've always been residential, hop on one of those hospitality tours, see what's out there. So really utilize what's here to help you. And again, even if it's not your first time, you know, there's still some resources there that can help. The third I would say is that take time for discovery that we talked about, Josh, a little bit, because again, you're going to miss things if you're too programmed. And I would say, you know, when you are back home at your desk, really reflecting about what worked, what didn't work, and making the commitment to do it again and reaching out to get some help if there are areas you feel like you didn't do the best in. We have an area here called The Point. It's a purpose-built structure that we build in the street in Commerce Avenue. It's four containers put together, and it's designed by a local design firm. It is an area for small-scale education. We do lots of panel discussions, peer-to-peer work there. But we also have those market advisors on the ground in The Point. We say get to The Point. Because if you get here and you're like, this is not what I thought it was. And by the way, we know those people. When they get off the bus in the morning, they're the women in the 3-inch heels. We know they're newbies. And I just want to go up to them and say, let me help you, because I can tell it's your first time here. We can sit down with you and take a couple hours. And even if you haven't done the pre-work before you get here, it's not lost. Let us help you plan that trip and make sure you get to the places that you need to get to.
Dress appropriately.
Yes.
Exactly. Making a note.
We can see them, you know, and it's funny. A lot of times you see those get off the bus in the morning and they're, you know, they're put together beautifully and they've got on the heels. By the evening when they're boarding the bus, they're holding their shoes. Or some of them have, you know, found someone who's giveaway, because sometimes our exhibitors, especially in spring, will give away flip-flops. So they're in, you know, the branded flip-flop and they're carrying their shoes. So we say here, our motto is we look good from the ankles up.
That is hilarious.
Yes.
That
your
is
feet
awesome.
Are the most important part in High Point.
It's funny. I'm just throwing this out there, but next year you should talk to Crocs about setting up a pop up. Have you?
We've talked about that. We've talked about having someone that could help with shoes. We've done massages. We've done all kinds of things that can help on the ground. But we've actually talked about that, Josh, that having somebody here that could sell shoes on the spot would be great.
Oh my gosh, that's genius. That's absolutely genius.
Yeah.
The other part of this too is the programming, because this is something that's near and dear to my heart. And it's harder and harder to do. You know, on one hand, you want to offer surprise and delight. You want to offer discovery. You want to have new conversations. You want to talk about things that are emerging, not just the same thing over and over again. Not to pick on anyone in particular, but, you know, like, you can only talk about popular colors so much.
Right.
You can only talk about materiality so much. You can only talk about certain things so many times because people have heard them before. And you know, what's interesting is, so when I started the podcast, you know, being in Southern California, part of what I would do is I would go to the Pacific Design Center, or I would go to the West Hollywood Design District for Diem, or, you know, any of the other local events. And I would say, hey, can I just plug in to your soundboard? Cause I'd like to put the talk on the podcast.
Yeah.
And, you know, many people, they'd be like, oh yeah, sure. Why not? You know, Jeffrey Sampson, when he was with the Pacific Design Center, you know, he was one of the first people. He's like, yeah, go ahead. It's like, cool. So I would just plug in and I would turn those episodes into, I would turn those talks into podcast episodes.
Yeah.
Whereas before, nobody ever heard those except if you were sitting in the audience. But now, and I'm not the only one that does this anymore. So now, you know, you can go back and hear these conversations. This is a really long-winded question. Sorry. But it's kind of like, if you struggle now to be different. You want to be different, but you don't want to be too different because you want to make sure that people actually come to your programming. Right. How do you address, because then you kind of have to look at, you kind of have to balance the trend versus the trendy. You kind of have to say, you know, okay, we're going to cover this. Yeah, it's new, but people are really talking about it now. How do you prioritize and navigate the topic field?
It's hard because I'll tell you, we've been on both sides of that. I mean, I've put things out before and had very little participation. And you go, okay, well, maybe we were bleeding edge rather than leading edge here. You know, maybe we got ahead of this too soon. And then there are other things that, you know, you miss altogether. And, you know, there are great trend folks in this industry, and we do lean on them. We've been working very closely recently with Patty Carpenter, with Carpenter and Company. We've also, you know, Fashion Snoops is also folks that we really partner with. There are so many good people doing trending out there that help guide those decisions. But again, it's basically talking to the customer and finding out where their struggles are and then trying to address that. I'll give you a great example. It's probably been 5 years ago now, but I feel like all of a sudden there was this flood of design software out there. I mean, all of a sudden there was like none, and then every ad you see was for a different software. And we were hearing designers say like, okay, I don't know where to go. Like, I know what I need, but I am overwhelmed by the options here. And I feel like my competitor maybe have, you know, they're going with this direction, but that doesn't seem like what I need to do. And I need something that has a customer interface, or I need something that has accounting backend, or I need something that handles shipping. There were so many needs, but the landscape was just, and so we spent some time really trying to just get the information out there, doing panels where a designer could sit down and ask the question of those folks, putting, and then all of a sudden it's like, everybody kind of figured that out. Landscape is, you know, you still hear about new softwares, but it's not like this flood that we had about 5 years ago. And so it's the same thing with coaching. You know, there for a little while, it was like there were a design coach for everything. And so just making sure that, again, to your point, it's hard. You don't want to appear trendy. You want to really understand what those struggles are. But, you know, sometime for us, that is just helping the designer or the retailer navigate their business. Like, it may not even have anything to do with product trends, but they're looking to us because they do come to High Point twice a year. So how can we help that designer be a better business person? And then that translates into buying more product and understanding the trends as the manufacturers present those and those kinds of things. But if they're over here struggling in some area of their business, we do feel the responsibility to try to help and to try to stay educated about what those things are. It's tough, especially as it relates to design. You will hear our team say here, if you've met one designer, you've met one designer. The businesses are so varied, how they approach product selection, how they approach, you know, working with clients, how they just their business approach in general is so varied. And so making sure that we are kind of staying up to date and, again, providing some value for them while they're here. There is no magic bullet. If you find that, Josh, I want to know about it. But what we have decided to do, much like that journey mapping for the website, is just you have to stay close. And we are very fortunate that we have designers who feel a great connection to our show and, you know, past style spotters or past design blogger tour participants or those kinds of folks are quick to pick up the phone and say, hey, I'm hearing this. Might make sense for you all to do something next market in this arena. And so we've really embraced that.
That's why, you know, it's so funny. Sometimes you will talk to, I love that, by the way, if you've spoken to one designer, you've spoken to one designer. It's totally true. And by the same token, you know, you will talk to creatives out there and I'll ask them, because I ask all the time wherever I go. And I go to this year, my travel schedule was insane, like many people's. Mm-hmm. And I ask, where have you been? Where are you going? And some people, you'll say, are you going to High Point, or are you going to Salone, or are you going to Maison, or are you going to whatever? And they'll say, oh no, I did that. Or K-Biz, you know, that's a big one too. Cause they'll say, oh no, I did that last year, or mm-hmm. I've done that. Or I've already done that. You know, I did the fall show. So right. I'm not going to spring, or I've done spring, I'm not going to fall, or I, you know. The challenge is, and one of the things that I think you do so well, and I mean you personally and High Point in general, is to stay on point, no pun intended, but to stay on top of things so that it's not the same show.
Yeah.
It's the same place, but it's not the same show.
Right.
And I'm just curious how the challenge to do that is immense. And hopefully your guests never see how hard you're working. They just know that they enjoy it, right?
We talk about Fred Flintstone's feet. Nobody knows what Fred Flintstone's feet looks like under that car, but that's my job. I'm under the car. Fred's just moving along at a nice clip, but underneath. And, you know, we talk to our exhibitors a lot about that exact thing, Josh. What you never want is for a buyer, designer, retailer, whoever that is, to walk by a showroom, look in and go, looks like it did in April, and they don't go in. And so there is great value in making sure things are fresh and new and different, and that it looks, you know, even if there's not a, you know, we've come out of COVID at a time when this past market was the first market in October that we really saw new introductions reemerge. But I think even during the time that people, you know, were not putting a lot into those new products, they were still trying to make their showrooms, you know, new and exciting and put something different in, you know, have a different offering so that it made sense for why an exhibitor needed to, or a buyer needed to visit that exhibitor. And so we talk a lot, because a lot does depend on these 2,000 showrooms, that what they're putting out is new and different and fresh. And then we're trying to do that from everything from, you know, signage to, you know, the website or anything, concerts, any of that that's new and different, to make sure that experience does stay fresh and stay new. But we really lean on those exhibitors to make sure that, you know, they're really delivering what those buyers are looking for.
You know, it's interesting to hear you talk about that, and experience is a backward looking indicator. You know, you can always talk about what your experience was, but you can never talk about what your experience is going to be. You can hope, and you can try to plan, and you can think about it. But one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, and you don't have a prepared answer for this, I'm sure. So okay. Do me a favor, just talk me through this for a second. Mm-hmm. We talk about virtual and the website, how it can help you plan, but also you've got this where you can go virtually walk through showrooms, and you can, when you think about that, ultimately you provide the virtual side of it because there's a certain clientele, there's a certain person, designer, that you just have to do it that way. There are others that will do it that way if it's more convenient, but you want them there in person. How do you navigate? How do you think through this idea? And we're going to dovetail this into AI because it's important. And there's a lot of things that I think are changing in our, there's a lot of things that are definitely changing in our industry.
Definitely.
And
it's for people like you, for shows like yours, it's really going to affect how you do this. And yes. It's not something like you can't make this. We're going to talk about the April show in a few minutes, but you can't, we're in December recording this. You can't, you're done with spring, I would imagine, or very, very close.
Yes, very close. To it. Yes.
How do you think about, you know, yes, we want to be able to provide this service virtually and online, but at the same time, ultimately, we want them here.
You have just hit on the $75,000 question, you know, that we spend a lot of time talking about. And boy, during COVID, did we, because we canceled a market, you know, for the first time since World War II. I mean, who does that, you know?
Everybody. I mean, not everyone's been around as long as you have, but it's interesting because everyone.
I mean, yeah. Who thought they would ever, you know, I remember reading contracts and you know, with vendors who work with trade shows, and there's always this, you know, cancellation clause. And I was always like, don't need to read that. Like, you know, been here 100 years. Are you kidding me? And we did. And so you struggle with providing your customer with what they need when they need it. And then also valuing the in-person event. We do value that here. We value much the things that you talked about, the storytelling, the face-to-face. We feel like that there is something you gain from being in the space, to being with the people, to and luckily home furnishings is still one of those things. I told someone the other day, I'm really glad no offense to the people who do this, but I don't work at the tool show. I mean, a wrench is a wrench, right? Like, you know, some people would probably say that's not the truth, but I need to sit on that sofa. I need to feel that fabric. I need to understand the scale of that chest of drawer. So we are fortunate to represent a product that people need to experience in person. But where the virtual helps is that, to your point about people even that have never been here kind of grasping what High Point is about, you go on the Verellen web, you go to Verellen's profile page and you look at their, you know, the virtual walkthrough of that showroom. If that doesn't make you say you have to be in High Point, I don't know what does. I mean, if you're a designer and you see that product even on screen, you want to touch it. You want to sit on it. You want to be there. And so I feel like using the digital resources to enhance the in-person experience is the sweet spot. I want you to see that and say, I'm going to register and I'm going to go. We're going to get you here, Josh. First of all, that's going to happen. But you can't see those things online. I think especially if you are a designer who's reselling that product, you need to experience it and you have to be here to do it. And we feel fortunate that we're still in an industry that wants to do that. You know, you want to go to Thayer Coggan and you want to hear Royal tell the story. You want to hear about the chairs that have the same design that's been produced since the 60s and why that is timeless. And you can't, I mean, you can watch the video of Royal do that, but when you're standing in their showroom that also is their manufacturing facility here in High Point, there's no replacing that. And that's what you get when you come to High Point.
I love that. And it's really interesting dovetailing into that because, you know, Royal at Thayer Coggan telling the story. And I love that there's an authenticity to that I absolutely love. I did a program recently on AI and how that's going to change the nature of our industry, because it's changing the nature of virtually every industry. It just will and does and is. That being said, the two panelists that I had on the program,
are not designers. They're not architects, you know, and this year I took a course through MIT, no code AI and machine learning, because I wanted to understand where we're going with this. And I think it's really fascinating. And I think someone like you is the perfect person to have this conversation with, because you've done all the work on the front end, especially with the website and preparing. You know, AI is like anything else, garbage in, garbage out.
Right.
If you have good information, mm-hmm. and you put that into a machine learning construct, and the algorithm can be manipulated by designers, they can be worked by designers or people coming. Here's one of the things that I think is absolutely amazing. We're kind of through the phase where people will use ChatGPT to write their blogs again. And it's so funny, Tammy, because you can always tell who does this. And I don't think it's you guys, but you can always tell who does this, because you look on their website, you go to their blog tab, and you'll notice that the blog started in 2010, 2012 or 13, then it stopped around 2015 or 17.
Right.
And then magically, it's come back. But what's interesting about it is you could tell two things. One, it is grammatically perfect. There's no typos. There's no grammar errors. It's all completely perfect, like it was written by Webster's. But the gross factual errors are numerous. Like, the mistakes are just all over the place. So you can tell they use ChatGPT to create. So we're through that. Now we're kind of entering the phase where people are crafting things in Midjourney. There's a consultant. And I don't name this person just because it's not important, but I like the example. Because I'm not a fan of the example. The example is a consultant, sort of not a designer, not a creative, who used one of these sources to create a thing and then found a manufacturer to produce the thing. And now it's real. And I have a problem with that for two reasons. The first is because I love designers and I love what they do. I want designers to be creating the things. And if you have someone who's not a designer creating a thing, you have now taken an opportunity from a designer to create a thing. And I don't like that. The second part is because, like, you know, it's the resources. The second part is when you take something from artificial intelligence, it's not artificial intelligence. It's accumulated intelligence. That thing is a byproduct of 1,000 or 100 other things. So it's not original. Right. That being said, you know, we're in a really interesting place because we need to respect IP rights. We need to really respect and honor what designers do. Now, that being said, one of the things that I think, obviously, you know, a show that's been around for 100 years that has been with one person at the helm for 22 years, accumulating all of this information, good information from people who actually know, who've actually been, and because you've got a website that is really useful. Do you ever think about the fact that this emerging technology is such that you can have a chatbot, you can have an AI entity on that site where, kind of like how your concierge works with hotels, to say, here's what I want to see. Here's when I want to see it. Here's how many miles I want to walk. Here's how many showrooms I want to hit. Here's, you know, to take all of this data that can now put out the perfect event going experience to see the people you want to hear tell the stories. Do you think about that? Is that on your radar?
It is. And I think there's a place for that. I think there is a place. And I love your statement about accumulated intelligence, because that is, that's absolutely what that is. And there's a lot of that here, of course. And there are some things that can be answered in such a way, you know, we can, cross-reference product categories. We could tell you about bus stops. We can tell you about the next great Jeannie Chung seminar. All those things can be told. What you might not be able to tell someone, and I think the part that people have grown to expect from our show, probably because of it's been here 100 years, is that What you really want to know is the trick and how to get to Bernhardt, because you can't get there on an elevator. You've got to take a series of escalators. And if you don't do it right, you're going to spend a lot of time wandering through halls, and you can see where you need to be, but you just can't get there. There are so many things about, I feel like, design and High Point that, I don't know, you just need the street cred. You just need, you need that experience. And I want to be the show that someone can give you the answer or can tell you what you need to know, but then they say, but here's the trick. Here's what's going to make it great for you. To your point about eavesdropping, you know, one of my favorite things to do is to take my name tag off and to ride buses, because I love to hear that conversation, and then I love to interrupt, and I love to say, oh gosh, you're talking about that product that you saw at Artistica. Have you thought about going here? Have you, you know, or have you, you know, did you know that you can actually get through those two buildings in the rain if you go up to the third floor and go across, you know, those kinds of things. And it's those, I feel like that's what, when a designer gets, boards that plane to go back home from High Point, is when they look back at those experiences, that's what makes them say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and make the plan to be back in 6 months. But can we use AI to do some of these things that are very cut and dry and there's an easy answer to? Absolutely. But I'm with you. Design is something that, and whether we're talking interior design, furniture design, showroom design, design means so many things in this city. It's organic. It's hard to reproduce. You know, I think AI is going to have a place, and I think it will, you know, it's going to help us do some things that have become arduous for us, and maybe then frees us up to think in a different way. You know, if I'm not having to do the mundane, then maybe I have more brain space to think about design, or to spend a little more time on that website, or to, you know, plan to be in High Point another day. And I hope that's how we use it. I'm not sure it's ever going to take the place of Royal at Thayer Coggan.
So tell me about the spring 24 show, because when folks are hearing this episode, it's going to be first quarter 2024. We're in when you hear this, the time is now. You don't say, oh, I've got 2 weeks. You don't. If you're hearing this episode, you need to plan right now. What are people, and like I said a little bit earlier, I think you're probably, if not 95% done, you're all the way done. I mean, there's probably a few things, but what are people going to see? What's different? What's new? What's unique? What are you excited about?
You know, I'm excited about, for the spring market, I do think we're going to continue to see new product in big ways here. I think manufacturers in October really saw the benefit of that. And I feel like the designs are going to be new and innovative, and we're going to continue to see those new product introductions be a great thing here. And I think we're seeing people come back, maybe those who've said, you know what, my floor is still full of product. You know, I think even if they have not felt the need to come back to High Point recently, I think they're getting to the point that is a need again. Even if your floor is still full, if you're a retailer or if you're a designer and you feel like your existing suppliers have been giving you what you need, I would say your customer is getting more and more hungry for what is new and what is different. And High Point is really the place where you can, in one place, get all of those resources both from a new product standpoint, as well as from an education and networking. So there are going to be some new things coming out that that probably by the time this podcast is out there that you'll be reading in the news, but a lot of great new things coming out of High Point. And we hope to be able to deliver that experience again, that, that makes people value April and October as that must see event.
Do we have a musical guest for spring yet?
Oh, now we're going to hold off on that. We're not going
to. Well, keep in mind, this isn't airing until.
Yeah,
just saying.
We probably will not release that until, I'll be honest, I'm not sure I can release that because the ink is not dry. But okay. But there's going to be, I think everybody's going to be, we're on the heels of Bare Naked Ladies. It was absolutely amazing. So we've got to deliver this market. I would also say the same will be true for our keynotes. There's some pretty amazing folks going to take the stage in High Point this time.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do, because this just isn't, I am not happy about this. Okay, I do not like not knowing things. So here's what I'm going to do. You know what I'm going to do is I will probably, when I do the preamble, so it's funny because I'm thinking through my production schedule as we're doing this, but I think when I do the preamble for this, I will make sure that it'll be announced already. So okay. I'll make sure to include it then. Because it's a draw. I go back to my days with Playboy, and when the Super Bowl was, there were certain parties. There was the Playboy party. There was the GQ party. There were a couple of entertainment companies that you had to be on that list because that was the place to be. And this is one of those things where it's just kind of like just such a great part and such a unique element to what you do. Okay. So the other question I have for you is not your favorite, because saying what our favorites are always makes somebody else upset, but who throws some of the best parties?
Oh, Josh, I'm the last one to ask this.
Or let me rephrase that. Okay. Who are some of the showrooms that do some of the most fun and unique types of events? Because, you know, there's always the entertainers that just kind of get it and it's always like on point. And sometimes showrooms don't want to do the entertainment. They want to just do the biz. That's, you know, right. Like, come in, see what we got. And that's cool. Because if 2,000 showrooms all did parties,
yeah,
could you imagine the fallout?
Right. Absolutely. Gosh, you know, I feel like that sort of, each market, there seems to be the one that everybody's talking about, and it's kind of that, and it moves around. It's not always the same one, but you hear about them, once you're at market, there's kind of a buzz about what's going on. But I'll be honest, I think recently I've probably heard the most about Hooker, because they're in the new space in Showplace and they have a fantastic balcony. And so there's, you watch the sunset from Hooker's balcony. If it's a night that we're doing a show, then you are overlooking the concert venue. It's pretty amazing. Marcor does fantastic parties. Phillips Collection does fantastic parties. It's one of those things that depends on what you're looking for, Varellen, we mentioned them earlier. They do fantastic events. Lunch is great at Curry and Company. Like there's all these places that are just depending on what folks are looking for. There's some pretty neat things going on.
Okay. And this is actually the perfect place to sort of wrap this up and put a bow on it. So by the time you hear this, the time is to start scheduling for spring 24. Yeah. And if you can't make it, then put it on your calendar for October 24.
Yes.
Because, then the next one's coming. So Tammy, I love this. Thank you so much. And the next time we speak, I would love for it to be in person at High Point.
Absolutely, Josh. I mean, holy cow, you're in this industry. I realize it's a long way to go, but we have to get you to High Point. I mean, you can't be the big dog on the block. You got to get off the porch and you got to come to High Point.
I'm there. It's just figuring out when. Tammy, thank you so much for doing this. I love this.
Thank you. And thanks for your time.
Design Hardware's newly remodeled showroom is where you will find a gallery-style space with a thoughtful display of products, purposefully positioned to allow unbridled exploration and discovery. High-end faucets, luxury tile, natural stone, wood floors, and bespoke hardware selections are presented in a holistic manner, strategically arranged to stimulate creativity and transition your vision from the conceptual stage to a fully realized space. Conveniently located, free parking available, stop by to find your inspiration. Collect samples, get expert advice, and tackle everything on your shopping list all in one place. Visit them online at designhardware.com or in the real world, 6053 West 3rd Street in Los Angeles.
Tammy, thank you for your time. Love this. I love these conversations. I love sharing them with you. Please continue to email me with your guest and show suggestions, convobydesign@outlook.com, and reach out via Instagram at convobydesign with an X. Tammy, thank you again. This was amazing. Thank you to Convo by Design partner sponsors Thermasol, TimberTech, Pacific Sales, and Design Hardware. For more information about each of these and links to these incredible companies, and to learn more about their products and design programming, please check out the show notes where you will find links to all of them. For more stories like these from the design community, please make sure you are subscribing to the podcast so you receive every episode, new episodes, automatically when they're published. That way, you never miss an episode, right? Convo by Design is available everywhere you find your favorite podcasts, but you knew that. Thanks for listening. Until next week. Be well. Take today first.